So yeah, please go to the microphone and just...
Thank you. My name is Alan Sinman and I'm chairman of the project control group for the Holocaust Museum. And I wish to speak tonight just on certain matters relating to the proposal that's the conceptual proposal that's been put forward for the closure of Selwyn Street. I'll try and be brief. The main concerns that the museum has, first of all, look, broadly we support a redevelopment of Selwyn Street, obviously, but from the point of view of the operation of the museum, there needs to be consideration for car access to the museum. As you're aware, we obtained a planning permit in the middle of last year. We have two car spaces within our building, one of which is for disabled. So the simple drawing that's currently on display, and it is extremely simple, doesn't indicate that such access is available, and it's essential obviously that we have that. The second is that and cars, these two car spaces, the cars need to be able to get in because they're off the street and they need to be able to exit from the building. So that's the single car space plus the disabled space. The second thing is a great number of our visitors are elderly. They are often brought either by taxi or by family and clearly are unable to walk substantial distances, and the only way that they can access the premises is to be dropped within a reasonable distance of the entry. And currently they're able to be dropped outside the building and have access straight into the building. So that needs to be considered. I can't see on the plan any opportunity for emergency vehicles to access Selwyn Street once it's closed and the way it's been proposed from the northern end access. Again, it has to be considered, not only for our building, for every other building, for the development opposite the Holocaust Museum. And I'm sure, hopefully, that will happen. The most critical thing for us is the fact that we have something currently like 23,000 students visiting this facility. Now, you would be aware, as of today, the Commonwealth Government has provided funds for the museum to actually increase its opportunities to provide further services to the school community, and it's the Commonwealth Government's aim is that up to 50,000 students during a year will ultimately visit this facility. We know from the records that we have, and it was part of the submission for our planning application, of the 23,000 students, approximately 80% of them arrive by bus. The balance come by public transport, and if you just extrapolate that, it equates roughly to 400 buses a year currently, which could in the foreseeable future become 50% more. Currently, the children are dropped outside the museum, they exit the buses park elsewhere, and then come back within the hour or 2 hours, whatever the allocated time is. Now, we have to have that bus drop-off. And again, the plan that's currently been submitted absolutely has no reference to that happening. Now, look, I don't want to sort of shock people, but what has happened in Christchurch, what has happened in Pittsburgh, is something that we have to be aware of. I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about. And we at the museum, the design of the building, have taken a number of steps to ensure that that building physically is safe and that the visitors inside the building will be safe. What is currently proposed diminishes that level of safety greatly if we have to have children being dropped off 100 or 150 metres away and they then have to walk to the museum to gain access. Or alternatively, when they leave, they actually have to walk 150 metres to somewhere where the bus is parked elsewhere. And it is a serious consideration. And it cannot be treated lightly. So much so that we will, whatever plan is developed, we will show, want to have that plan reviewed by the Australian Federal Police, by the State Police, and any other organisation that is involved in the safety of people within this state. This is how critical this matter is for us. So I ask that when the design is being prepared, and I accept it's currently it's very conceptual, it worries me that if this conceptual design just somehow sort of happens, it doesn't address any of the concerns of the major organisation that actually uses the street. So I ask that all the people, all of the users of that street ultimately have a say in how this is developed, because there are serious safety and security matters that must be taken on board by the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sinman. Next one is Michael Leone. Michael? Yep. Yep.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, councillors, Rebecca. My name is Michael Leone. I'm a local resident. I live in Regent Street in Austenwick. This evening, I'm speaking on behalf of the resident action group Stop the Austenwick Towers, whom I believe everybody's familiar with. This matter, I speak too closely. This matter regarding the proposed closure of Sullivan Street, it's not a clear-cut yes-no type of issue. And it is one that actually we spent a fair bit of time discussing ourselves, because there are many views around this, and it impacts people, residents, traders, the cultural institutions that occupy Sullivan Street differently. And as such, it was something that we obviously had to give a bit of thought to and discuss in detail. But if we sort of step back for a moment and we look back and think what makes Alstonwick and what makes, you know, great places and great cities and, you know, enhancing the community well-being and, you know, as it is actually mentioned in the meeting, you know, agenda, livable and well-designed, a well-planned city that is a great place to live. If you think about that, there is an opportunity, a great opportunity, to take something that is, I guess, street-wise, somewhat unloved. It's an important street. It houses, as I said, some great institutions. And you think what it can be and the opportunity that presents, I think that there is a great opportunity to create something that is unique. And as far as community spaces go, something that in Alstonwick, and as is identified in this structure plan, the community spaces and the public spaces in Alstonwick is an area that is lacking. And we don't have very good quality public spaces and amenities. So as an opportunity, it presents a great case for renewal and looking long term from today into the future for future generations, particularly when we consider the institutions that occupy you know, the Kadima Centre, the Holocaust Centre, and so forth. So from that level, there are some great opportunities there, and I think the residents, as a group, we do support that concept, that there is a great, you know, there's an overarching reason for creating some great spaces and public amenity that is lacking in the community, that the community will benefit from. And not only today, but looking, you know, further down the track. With all such great plans, the devil is in the detail. And this is where the detailed planning needs to be very thorough and well thought out, because it can have unintended consequences or ramifications that are initially, you know, not visible. So in light of that, I mean, a lot of those issues have been presented and are covered in the submissions. But obviously for residents, we have concerns around, for example, the closure of Gordon Street and what that actually, how that will play out, what that means. We have some concerns around the removal of all that on-street parking that is currently available. You know, when you create a new public amenity and space, it will attract greater visitation. With that visitation, there will be vehicle traffic. Where is that vehicle traffic going to go and park? You know, based on the increasing numbers that were, you know, that are forecast. There is also the issue of, you know, we have the school there. I mean, we have to consider the safety and the well-being of the children and their parents and everything else. So there has to be consideration of vehicular movements, what the consequences will be for changes in traffic flows and directions. We also have the fact that, you know, there is the enjoyment, the, you know, the quiet enjoyment that the local residents immediately, well, some of the residents who live in Solon Street, some of the apartments there, and also adjoining Sinclair and Gordon, Elizabeth region, you know, having more and more functions there, and as is also intended to attract greater and greater visitors there, you know, what is the impact going to be for their prior, you know, enjoyment of their own quiet time at home. So I guess, yeah, as a concept, we broadly support it. I think there is a great opportunity there. Again, the detail, that's where these matters will need to be carefully considered. And we hope and we expect that the community, that the community expects that the council will share and invite feedback relating to the detailed plans and analysis that needs to be done to take this from a high-level concept into a workable plan. And we look forward to seeing some detailed plans that will give greater comfort to addressing some of these concerns that the residents have raised. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leone. Is Marissa Bibiano in the gallery? Yep. Okay, thanks, Ms. Bibiano. Mr. David Buchler. There you go. Good entrance.
thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, councillors. I'm one of the owners of the Budapest restaurant in Glen Huntly Road. We have our loading area on the lane off Selwyn Street at the back. Just a couple of brief points, maybe a little repetition. One of the important factors for us and a lot of the restaurants in the area are loading zones. We've been there nearly 14 years and we have had many issues with deliveries because we didn't have loading zones. We've begged your parking inspectors not to book our delivery drivers when they were just in the driveway of the lane, but they kept giving them tickets. So we applied to get a loading zone put in. We have that, and that has reasonably resolved the problem. Looking at the plans that you have proposed, not only would that new loading zone that was put in be eliminated, but so too would the one on Gordon Street. This is an area that is thriving now. It's becoming a hospitality and entertainment precinct with lots of hospitality businesses, but also other businesses, the cinema, and new developments coming on board, which will more than likely have some kind of commercial element on the ground floor, whether it's hospitality or whatnot. So from a loading perspective, eliminating all the loading zones within essentially 100 to 200 metre radius of that area would make things extremely difficult for the businesses and also for the suppliers. We're talking about perishable goods, refrigerated, frozen items, things that need to basically be temperature controlled and delivered quickly, safely, in a way that complies with all the health regulations. So we're very concerned for a start just that those loading zones, which we've lobbied so hard to get, are now looking at being removed. I didn't see anything about any replacement or alternative loading zones as part of the plan. On-street parking, that's a classic one for us. Despite maybe your vision of a beautiful pedestrian precinct where everyone lives within walking distance of this area and everyone's just going to come down with their families, with their elderly people and just walk by, it's not going to happen. We already have a massive lack of parking. You recently approved a fairly sizable expansion of the Classic Cinema, a big cinema complex without any of its own parking. I'm not sure how many extra patrons that cinema can now accommodate, but there's been no extra parking allocated to that. Again, coming back to developments that are coming on board, most likely with some kind of ground floor commercial use, we can only see more people, more requirement for parking, so taking that parking away could only cause more problems, more circulating, trying to find parking spots that don't really exist, and making it extremely difficult for families with younger children, families who are, coming with disabled people, and also elderly customers, of which we have a lot, and generally speaking, the area has a lot of older customers, particularly people using the Holocaust Centre, using our restaurant, using the theatres. I'm not sure what the situation would be with our disabled parking as well. General traffic gridlock, the Holocaust Centre alluded to this as well. I mean, we've been there, as I said, for nearly 14 years. That street is absolutely essential. Selwyn Street I'm speaking about now. School pickups, school drop-offs, visiting Kadima, visiting the Holocaust Centre, buses and buses galore. And if we're talking about a full-service supermarket as well, potentially on Selwyn Street and whatever gets built there, whether it's high-rise or low-rise apartments, many more residents, it's a huge site. We're looking at potentially traffic gridlock at multiple times of the day, let alone buses being able to turn around, which I can't see even being possible. We're really concerned about that, and we're really concerned about the impact that it will have on the residential streets, where effectively to be able to access that, I think it's northern part of Selwyn Street, where it comes off Sinclair Street, everyone will have to be using those residential streets to get in and out, whether it's to use this new supermarket, whether it's to get to the Holocaust Centre. It just feels like it's going to be a nightmare. And I guess they're our key points. The one thing I did want to mention as well is it's more a general idea from what we've seen done in places like City of Port Phillip, where they closed off Ackland Street and they tried to make that into a bit of a plaza. I personally don't think that's worked. I think it's killed the street. This is an area that is definitely on the rise in terms of an activity precinct, in terms of entertainment, in terms of hospitality. The centre of gravity of Elsternwick, definitely from an evening, nighttime entertainment perspective, has moved down to that end of the street. And I just implore you not to make that area become a victim of its own success. and kill something that's working. I don't want to see that area turn into a place where we've got hoodlums hanging around at night time, where we've got, you know, people drinking or, heaven forbid, shooting up drugs or whatever, because it's become the new place. You've just spent millions of dollars on the park across the road. It looks great. I think it's still completely underutilised given the investment that you've made there, and that could be used for a lot of the things that I think you might be considering for this area. Given the amount of cultural activity that would take place in this area, I think it's a lot of impact and a lot of loss of amenity to an area that needs the parking, that needs the thoroughfare, for not very much gain. So we're opposed. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Buchler. Okay, Ms. Jackie Rebilliard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and councillors, for the opportunity to put my position forward. Now, I'd like to sort of clarify in the first instance, I don't live within 500 metres of this area. However, I am a public transport user in Glen Huntly Road, and I walk a hell of a lot. And my major concern, in addition to all of the other concerns that people have raised to date, is really what are the functional implications of having a closure, particularly in the context of a Woolworths development that we're looking at. Now, I know that Woolworths development for the moment is going to go to VCAT, so there is no outcome per se, but I think it has to be considered in terms of making a decision about what's the best way for council to go with Selwyn Street. A few figures, I think, and this came out of the planning application, and I've read all of the most of the planning application for the Woolworths proposal. The supermarket is going to be approximately 3,500 square metres. They're anticipating approximately 4,500 to 5,000 car movements per day. And with the closure of Selwyn Street, what will happen is that all of those car movements are going to have to access and egress Selwyn Street from the proposed car park into Glen Huntly Road. I mean, as you're aware, Glen Huntly Road there is an incredibly busy road. It is a very difficult road to manoeuvre from the point of view of getting from Porong Road down to the station, primarily because it's also a shopping strip and there are lots of people who drive along and wish to park their car. Every time they want to park their car, they have to stop the traffic, basically, so they can go in. So what we're looking at, in addition to what we're having to deal with now, is in fact the potential for 5,000 car movements into and out of Glen Huntly Road. I did have a quick chat with the gentleman from council about planning, traffic management, and I didn't get a strong sense that this was perhaps a very happy situation to have to work with, that this was going to be a very difficult and challenging issue for council to develop the appropriate mechanisms in Glen Huntly Road in order to manage that element of traffic. And I think it's a very important point, given that in Glen Huntly Road we have bus services, we also have a tram that goes into the city, and I do know that Elsternwick, as the major activity centre, is allowing very significant development because of its proximity to public transport. And I think we have to look at it also in the context of the local schools. In my submission, I sort of mentioned the school on the corner of Sinclair and butting onto that T-intersection of Sinclair and Selwyn Street. But let's be mindful, there's also another school down towards Orong Road. As part of the Elsternwick Structure Plan, you've also got the idea of developing the library and a community facility there. And then we've also got the added implication of Coles supermarket being completed by the end of this year. And then potentially looking at the traffic management implications. And I can tell you now that it's been a dream not to have Coles there. It's not going to be a dream when Coles gets back, primarily because the traffic flow through there is going to be horrendous, and that is going to add to the complexity of traffic management in Glen Huntly Road. There's also the issue of the Classic Cinema. As the gentleman before said, the Classic Cinema has expanded. They have no on-site car parking. In order to park your car, if you're going to have to travel by car, on occasions we have to park in St George's Road or further towards Orong Road in order to do that, and also take probably close to 5 or more minutes to find a parking spot. So there are all of these sorts of issues that come into it. And I think it's particularly in terms of the expansion of the Holocaust Museum and the implications for traffic management there, as I clearly articulated earlier on, I think it's a very significant consideration. I believe there's also a push for another cultural facility to be pushed into to Selwyn Street as well. So, and to add to that, if you like, the very big high-density developments that are going to be occurring in Glen Huntly Road in that section between the junction and the railway line. So at the end of the day, I think Council has a very significant responsibility to take into consideration the likely impact of closure of Selwyn Street. And I can see traffic flows, if you like, St George's Road will become nothing more than a rat run. Stadelland Road will become similarly another rat run. And this is how people are going to access and egress that whole area, by using local streets. And I'm not quite sure whether local residents are going to be overly happy about that either. But I think in terms of thinking this through, particularly with 4,500 to 5,000 car movements per day coming out of Woolworths, providing that goes ahead, that's a very, very significant consideration in terms of traffic management in and around this area. So parking similarly has been mentioned before, so I won't go into too much detail about that, but to say that thank you for this opportunity to listen to my concerns.
Okay, thanks, Ms. Verbilli. Is Glenys Osborne or Angelo Bonacci in the gallery? Glenys Osborne or Angelo Bonacci? Okay, it doesn't look like, well, we've got their written submissions anyway. And if they pop in later, we can go back to them. Is Sarah Russo in the gallery? Or, okay, so, yeah, okay, so yeah, I understand Sarah is from Woolworths, so we'll allow a Woolworths representative to address us. Yeah.
Evening, councillors and mayor, Rebecca and staff. I'm glad it's a bit quieter to the last meeting I was here. I've also got Simon Wallen from MGS, our urban design company, to provide a report speaking after me, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Mayor and councillors, thank you for the opportunity to present our submission regarding the proposed closure of Selwyn Street to through traffic and to regulate vehicle traffic to one-way in Dorton Street. The vision of the Elsternwick Cultural Precinct, acknowledged by Council and embraced by Woolworths, is for an active and thriving meeting place, known here and abroad for its diverse mix of cultural experiences and as a wonderful and welcoming local place for everyday life. The closure of Selwyn Street, however, would represent a backward step in realising this vision. We strongly oppose the plan to close Selwyn Street, as it would prevent the achievement of the goals Council is seeking to achieve. We support Council's ambition for the cultural precinct centred in Selwyn Street. In fact, we propose to facilitate this by providing cultural space in our proposed development to the Jewish Cultural and Arts Precinct, JCAP. At almost 1,000 square metres, this space will be vital to cultural activities in the eastern side of Selwyn Street. It will in turn also allow for the Kadima site to be redeveloped, strengthening the heart of this important area. This cultural space is likely to be compromised if Council closes Selwyn Street to traffic. Well-established urban design principles would be compromised by the closure of Selwyn Street, including activation of street frontages and retail, transport management included along Selwyn Street and surrounding streets, car parking for the community, drop-off zones, urban streetscape and public realm. We note that the existing and proposed trap car parking would be lost in Selwyn Street if it is closed. One of the key issues within this community, as we've heard tonight, is a lack of car parking. The Council's proposal would see the loss of 30 on-street parking spaces. It would also very likely prevent the delivery of 70 extra car parks by Woolworths, which we have proposed to benefit the cultural precinct to support a vibrant activity in Selwyn Street. Traffic is likely to worsen in surrounding streets if Selwyn Street is closed. An adequate analysis on this impact has not been completed. The report by Council's traffic consultant one-mile grid has not assessed the impact of additional traffic in surrounding residential streets. We note in particular the community's concern in relation to the Gordon Street impacts in their submissions. The closures, next point is extremely important. The closure is not supported by the major stakeholders in the precinct. An appropriate consultation has not occurred. In fact, no formal notification was given to stakeholders in Selwyn Street before council endorsement on the 27th of November. Council's report details that a shared vision was developed at two workshops. However, these workshops did not include the Jewish Holocaust Centre or the Classic Cinemas, key stakeholders. The workshops also did not agree a position on a shared vision for the cultural precinct. It appears that an independent consultants process was truncated, the Hassell Group I'm talking about, and the council has produced its own concept plan with limited involvement from those key stakeholders. We question council's haste in advancing a proposal without adequate consultation with the key stakeholders in Selwyn Street. It's clear from the stakeholders here tonight that council has failed to achieve a shared vision for the cultural precinct, and the proposed closure of Selwyn Street, with objections from Sholem, Kadima, the Jewish Holocaust Centre, and Classic Cinema and Woolworths, all the key stakeholders. Council needs to reconsider its intentions to close Selwyn Street, and in the interest of best practice urban design, and in that recognition of loss, it could potentially lose the cultural and community opportunities that would result if you do close it. We urge council to listen to the stakeholders here tonight and the community and vote no to the proceed with the closure, and instead to work on a shared vision which is supported by all parties. This is a place that Woolworths supports and wants to be part of, and we're willing to work with council, the community and stakeholders in Selwyn Street to create a vibrant cultural precinct. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lowe.
I'll call on Simon now to talk about some urban design issues.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to just add a few urban design specific points in regards to the Woolworths presentation just a moment ago. My name is Simon Wallen. I'm Associate Director of MGS Architects. And I have to say I'm very, very supportive of the overall intention to establish the cultural precinct as a major anchor in the Elsternwick Activity Centre, and also an important acknowledgement and celebration of Jewish culture in Melbourne. However, the design itself of the precinct is, I think we'd agree, a work in progress, and we've heard that tonight. Without consultation with key stakeholders, Council's prepared two options for Selwyn Street. I submit that the process was used to determine Council's preferred design to justify the road closure was flawed. The preferred vision and key moves of the precinct were discussed with stakeholders last year, captured in the cultural precinct plan, which was tabled last year. However, the officers in the assessment of these two options substituted a different vision and their own assessment criteria to assess the preferred design. If we use these criteria themselves, it's difficult to say that one design out of the two options that were prepared by council are unambiguously better. The concerns that council's officers identified around pedestrian crossings, transport links, and the location of public spaces could be addressed in either option or in any option with relatively minor design changes. However, there are two very important design factors that were not fully considered as part of the officer's assessment last year in November. Firstly, the cultural precinct is an integral part of the activity centre and should be configured to fully engage with the activity access, being Glen Huntly Road. Particularly during events, during major events, it's important that the festival activity is oriented towards the Elsternwick end, the Glen Huntly end of Selwyn Street, and away from the relatively more sensitive uses, residential uses within Selwyn Street. Council's preferred option doesn't do this. It locates the noise activity disruption on Selwyn Street, Sinclair Street, adjacent to housing. This was tabled last year as the activity zone of Council's preferred option during major events, which locates the activity area during major events indicated in red to the north on Sinclair Street rather than to the south adjacent to Glen Huntley Road. This is, of course, in events mode. In everyday use, it would be a different consideration, and Sinclair Street would be open or would be partially open to traffic. Secondly, Council Structure Plan emphasises the importance of activity and active interfaces, particularly at the southern end of Selwyn Street, adjacent to Glen Huntley Road. The Cultural Precinct Plan, completed in the middle of last year, reinforces this and also adds the importance of celebrating heritage, ensuring activation. These were diminished in the council officer's assessment of the preferred option last year in favour of public space related aspects. Council's preferred design for Selwyn Street will locate the major car park entry for the Woolworths site next to the Heritage Fire Station, diminishing the heritage value of that station and diminishing the opportunity for its activation for food and hospitality
use. Excuse me, can the people in the gallery please restrain themselves, because I would like to hear what every submitter is saying, please.
I'll bring it to a close. In my opinion, neither option that was considered last year presents an optimal design outcome for Selwyn Street. Neither should proceed in the specific form set out to date, and for this reason it's premature to initiate the closure of Selwyn Street without a clear design option that resolves some of these issues and fully integrates the precinct within its wider context. And I suggest that Council should return to discussions with all stakeholders and build on the design work that was cut short in the middle of last year.
Okay, thank you for your submission. Now, that brings us to the end of the people, as I mentioned, who specifically indicated that they wanted to address the meeting, but I'm also aware that there are other people in the gallery who did make submissions and would like to address this. So I'll give that opportunity now to anyone. Can you please raise your hand if you... Yep. Yep. Joe Teagle? Yep.
It's okay. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Joe Teagle. I'm the Vice President of the Kadima. I thank the councillors and CEO for this opportunity. I will be succinct. It's getting late, so I'll stick to my notes. Out of respect to the councillors and the generous time they've given to our community, rather than have three separate voices address you tonight, I represent the Jewish Culture and Arts Precinct, JCAP, that is formed by the stakeholder groups being Sholem Aleichem College, the Kadima, and the Jewish Museum of Australia. Erstenwick is a great example of the changing face of our suburban neighbourhoods, and we respect that our councillors and planners have an often sensitive and complicated task in addressing these changes. JCAP is supported by the state government and is committed to bringing a serious taste of Jewish cultural life in Erstenwick to life. Sorry, I'll just update my notes then. We recognise there are many expectations and logistics to address a change in a mix of commercial transport, entertainment, food, retail, and of course the residents' amenity in the Erstenwick Village. I, as a lifelong resident and community participant and representing the Sholem Aleichem College and Kadima, we are directly affected by the planned closure and traffic management plan. While the JCAP cohort very much supports the plans of developing a cultural precinct centred on Selwyn Street, we share with Council the value of substantial street activation to enhance the precinct experience, and we wish to table our objection based on the following concerns. A primary concern, and has been raised by our neighbours here, is the lack of consultation to date. On the 15th of the 3rd, JCAP stakeholders were invited to participate in focus group discussions on the Selwyn Street plan, and to date there have been no meetings as such. As significant stakeholders, we believe it's incumbent on the Glenora officers and councillors to engage JCAP in the process in a significant matter such as this. We also wish to address the impact on pedestrian vehicular access, and I won't go into detail on that. You've heard other comments which really reflect our views on this as well. But we too, as part of the museum being part of a developed site at 7 Selwyn Street, will have concerns around buses, access, as well as significant security issues which we believe need to be brought to the table and discussed in detail so everyone is aware of the implications of those. We too also have access for the disabled and elderly, and the plan is sorely lacking in how we are to apply that. We wish to see greater detail on planning regarding car park entry access for current and proposed developments, and we believe the submission to date lacks in that, and that you see is a very serious issue. A view on the proposed closure of Selwyn Street and one-way traffic on Gordon Street cannot be considered without a complete understanding of how the proposed changes will impact the surrounding streets. And again, residents, organisations and retailers here, it's quite interesting to note that if we're going to look at a submission and a decision at the end of this month, all of those critical, all of that critical thinking needs to be applied, and we don't believe that's reached a deep enough level. Our recommendation on a vote on the planned closure of Selwyn Street to the north is that it be deferred until a meaningful consultation process has been completed and that we're able to have our say as part of that. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Teagle. Are there any other submitters who would like to address the meeting at this stage? Yep. Can I have your name, please?
Caroline.
Did you make a written submission? Okay. Okay, I'll ask if there's any other. I will come to you, but I'll just see if there's anyone who's made a written submission who wants to address us. Okay, is it Isakoff? Yep, please step up to the microphone.
My name is Caroline Isakoff, and I've been to the meeting, I think, a month ago, and you can see I've got the red collar on. I lived at 36 St George's Road until the 15th of March, and then I moved six doors down to Unit 1, 16 St George's Road, the same street, exactly six doors away. I have applied to the council to change my address, to get all my rates there and all my billing and pay all my bills. I have applied to get a permit so I can park my car out the front and my husband's car and the odd visitor that we have. And I can tell you now, in just the 3 weeks I have been six doors away, I have been unable to park outside the front of Unit 116 St George's Road, which has time limitations. 36 St George's Road is beyond the roundabout and does not have any time restrictions. However, I was vigilant in making sure that people parked properly there. I could go on and on about during the time of the block. The council organised passes for all the people living in Regent Street, but barely looked after the people living in St George's Road or Elizabeth Street or any of the other adjacent streets. And if I didn't put my car out at 10 o'clock at night or 6:30 a.m. in the morning, I could not get out of my driveway because there were tradespeople there. Now I've moved six doors down into a unit. I'm downsizing. I've let another Glenora council funding, people moved, bought our house from Hopeton to St George's Road, a bigger property. They love the area. We all love the area, except we feel that we are being pushed out. We don't belong. It's crowded. It's busy. And now you're going to say it's okay to have a Woolworths when you've already got a Coles.
Sorry, Mrs. Koff, just...
Yep.
this is specifically about whether we close...
Well, I'm telling you that I already can't park in the front. And if you close off Selwyn Street or change the direction of Gordon Street, then all those people that need to get access through to those streets, as described by some of those business people, and I go to Rendell, I know that restaurant next door to Budapest, and it's packed. I know people that go to the classic cinema. You know, this is just from a human being that lives in that area. All the people that go to the classic cinema that's, you know, socially done a wonderful job but not provided extra parking, they all park outside 36 and 34 St George's Road because there's no limitation. So I'm just saying be really, really careful. I could go on and say I don't particularly want a Jewish precinct in that area. I'm a Jewish background, I belong to those organisations, and we don't need, you know, more closing off of an area. Those organisations and those people already have places to go to at Beth Weitzman, at the Lamb Library, at the Sports Maccabi Sports Centres. The festival that took place about a month ago was fantastic. Once a year, organised, have security. But being of Jewish background and having towers there and 160 apartments, I don't know who's going to be there. Not everybody likes us. So, you know, I have come to you really knowing that there's a whole lot of people out there in the streets. We walk and we talk to each other, and, you know, I think I express some of those feelings that you're, you know, looking at Glen Ira, the suburb, but you're not looking at the people and their hearts and minds, and that they want to live a peaceful, safe place without pressure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, if no one else would like to address us, then we will put a motion. Councillor Silva has printed. Yeah, and for the benefit of the gallery, could you read the motion out, please?
Yes, that's a good idea. The recommendation.
Yeah.
I should. I'm discussing off the public microphone first, so yeah. Turn mine on.
Okay.
Is it a bit of suspense?
Not really. It's not a particularly interesting motion. The recommendation reads as follows: that council, one, having heard persons who, in their written submissions, have requested that they appear in person or be represented by a person specified in their submission and in support of the submission, notes the receipt of all written submissions received in relation to this matter and confirms that the submission will be considered by Council in accordance with sections 207 large A small b and 223 of the Local Government Act 1989 at the subsequent ordinary meeting of the Council to be held on 30 April 2019 and 2. Directs that a summary of the submissions hearings be prepared, which is a form and attachment to the Council report, to be prepared for the subsequent ordinary meeting of the Council to be held on 30 April 2019, at which meeting Council will consider whether or not to exercise power under section, it should read section 207 and schedule 1 clauses 8 small 1b and 9 of the Local Government Act 1989.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Silva. Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Strait. Councillor Silva.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And just before I begin with my remarks, some suggestions were made concerning the consultation just now as to whether or not it had been broad enough as required by law. I might ask Mr. Mullen to comment on those matters.
So, consultation and the commitment.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. As part of the formal, firstly, the structure plan was developed under six stages of consultation. And that was resulted in council adoption. And then the formal process for the road closure required, we wrote to everyone within the catchment area and all the stakeholders that were named today as well.
Thank you, Mr.
So before you continue, that's it? Okay, sorry.
This is good. And this is what the Local Government Act requires? Yes, thank you, Mr. Mullen. Now, as I often do at the end of a planning conference, I'll just summarise the concerns that I've had, and the fact that I'm making it a bit smaller doesn't mean I haven't heard it fully, it's just I'm used to summarising. I hear concern about loss of loading zones, particularly from Budapest, which is a fantastic restaurant, I encourage everybody to go there. The need to manage the loss of parking from Selwyn Street and the surrounding road network. Access to the Holocaust Centre, in particular use of buses and also security concerns of the Holocaust Centre. The need for parking in the area. I do know that Council has vetted the possibility of developing a multi-deck car park in the area, and that's not to mention current proposals for private car parking in or about the area. The impact on the local road network is rated quite highly in the concerns expressed this evening. Again, I've asked Mr. Mullins concerning about the consultations Woolworths have raised. Again, if there's any probity concerns, those we'll get advice on that, but I'm at this stage not exactly sure what those are about, but I'm sure officers will inform me if there's any issue. The purpose of this evening and this meeting, as the report makes clear, is to hear submissions. It's not to form views. We have a statutory process under the Local Government Act. So I was going through the sections now. They're not particularly passionate or loud. They're simply a mechanism which council needs to go by and requires to undergo public consultation as part of that process. What has been drawn to my attention that residents may wish to know and those involved is that previously I think around the Woolworths application was concern about council doing its own traffic analysis. And I'm informed that we have been doing a bit more lately that should satisfy those concerns. I'm sure some more detail will be provided on that. Perhaps, Mr. Mull, do you want to speak to any of that?
Is there further traffic studies?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Silver, I can respond to that. So I think the concern related to the fact that some of the traffic studies that were undertaken by Woolworths, which this relied on, had been undertaken during school holiday periods. So there has been some further traffic study work that has been undertaken outside of school holiday periods. That's currently being compiled, and that will be available to the council before a decision is made.
I'm not going to go into too much detail now. We've got a decision to make on this matter under the Local Government Act. It's not a particularly, it's a very mechanistic, if I can use that term, decision to make. Everything's been said and heard. Officers have made notes, and we'll get advice as to how that interacts with the relevant legislation.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Silver. Councillor Strait.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think tonight has been an incredibly important part of this process. And I think to believe for one moment that either council officers or the councillors around this table would be taking into consideration all of the comments that have been said tonight, but also all of the written submissions, the conversations offline, the conversations that individuals have had with individual councillors, all of that helps create a picture. And it helps create a picture of what concerns are. And if changes are made, how some of those or all of those or a range of those concerns can be addressed through different design protocols, or if simply making a change is not the right move here and making a change to the way that traffic flows in this area doesn't work well for us. The challenge that is right in front of us today is that this part of Elsternwick, we've heard it again and again tonight, is changing. Whether we like it or whether we're for it, there might be elements of it that we like and other elements that we don't. But the reality is this area of Glenara is changing. And the very challenging task that we all need to do as a community is to decide what is ultimately going to be the best way to deal with those challenges when some of them, we don't actually yet know what they're going to look like. And that's in and of itself something that we have to consider. What I will say is, tonight was fantastic for myself as a councillor to be able to hear all of those concerns, to understand what people are thinking of, to understand that, you know, in some of the submissions that there's a mixed feeling here. And I think that's important for us to understand as well. I think it's important that we continue this process together with the community. I think to allow the community the opportunity, you know, I hope I can speak for all councillors here, and I believe I do, in saying that every councillor, you know, does their best to make themselves available so that they can chat with the community, speak with people, answer phone calls, and I know that I have been doing a number of those, and I really do appreciate each person that has come forward for that. We've got a tough decision. Elsternwick is changing. We need to design a way in which movement of traffic, movement of people, areas to be able to continue to enjoy Elsternwick with these changes can be made. And it's challenging, because it's challenging to separate those bits that you like and those bits that you don't from what you think would genuinely make the area better. Tonight I had an opportunity to get a much better understanding of that from the community, and I really do thank everyone for coming out here, and I do believe that if you continue this dialogue, we will hopefully be able to come to a resolution that works as best as we can for most outcomes for most people. So thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Strait. Anyone wishing to speak against the motion? Any further speakers? Councillor Athanasopoulos.
I'll be very short, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to thank everyone for that. That's not here tonight and has put a submission in, thank you very much. And everyone that is here that has or has contributed in some way, shape or form to someone else's submission, I really appreciate it. This process has already been explained by some of the other councillors is important, because whilst we always have our phones open and operating for everybody and our email accounts open and we make ourselves as available as possible for any catch-up or chat, when you have time to actually sit down and write something of your concern or issues that you may believe that haven't been addressed, it's a lot easier for us to go through and actually read it. So I appreciate all the time and effort that you've made to do that and for coming out here tonight as well.
Hey, thank you, Councillor Athanasopoulos. Any further speakers? Councillor Isikoff.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to add to the comments made by Councillor Athanasopoulos. Also, I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight, for giving us their verbal views, which we have in writing for those submissions. And it is appreciated, and we have a lot of homework to do over the next about 19 days when we make this decision. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Isikoff. Any further speakers? Councillor Davey.
There really isn't much left to say, but I did want to add my thanks to everyone that has come out tonight. And as Tony said, sorry, Councillor Athanasopoulos has said, has taken the time to write to us, because that is a very time-consuming thing to do, and it demonstrates your passion and really lets you think quite deeply about the issues that are at hand. And thank you for those that verbally presented tonight as well. It's always good. I struggle sometimes with the written word to get the emotion from it, but hearing from you tonight, it was really quite evident that the emotion is there, so it was wonderful to hear from you all. So thank you again.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Davey. Any further speakers? Councillor Cahill.
I just wanted to reiterate what my fellow councillors have said, and I do appreciate all the submissions made, and thank you for your time and the submissions you made today.
Thank you, Councillor Kate. That microphone, please. Thanks. Okay, that leaves me. I also thank everyone who made a written submission, everyone who came tonight especially to give us oral submissions, and also for the rest of you who came, gave your time to listen to tonight's meeting here and at home. This is by no means a done deal. We will be taking into account everything that's been put to us in writing and verbally tonight, and we'll see what we come up with on the 30th of April. But I can assure you that we're not just going through that or ticking the boxes because the Local Government Act says we have to. We are actually paying very close attention to what everyone has said. You might also all be interested to see what everyone else has said. And the copy of the agenda is online on our website, and the agenda does have everyone's submissions. They're redacted, so your privacy has been protected, so you won't know what submission is from who, but all the submissions are in here. So if you want to have a read of that, it is an interesting read. There are a number of different perspectives, and there are also, as Councillor Strait said, a lot of similarities between the submissions. Councillor Delahunty has asked me to pass on her apologies for not being here tonight as a ward councillor. She was intending to be here, but she's put her back out. And last I spoke to her, she was lying flat on her back in her office wondering how she was going to get home. But she assured me that she will be watching the meeting on the live streaming or the subsequent recording of the meeting. So she will also hear everything that you've said and obviously be reading the agenda, which she already has done. Having read the written submissions, there were... obviously, tonight's not the night to give my views on whether we should go ahead with this or not, and frankly I'm still undecided, and you know, we'll be discussing it amongst ourselves and with the officers, as has been mentioned. But there are a couple of comments in their submissions about the unsuitability of letting a minority have an area, and the point that I've made it before and I'll make it again is that the intent of the JCAP is not to have an area for the Jewish community. The idea is to have an area where the Jewish community can share its culture, the same way the Chinese community shares its culture in Chinatown, the Greek community shares its culture in Oakley, the Italian community shares its culture in Lygon Street, to give a few examples. That's the intention. It is for the whole community. There was one submission, and I don't know who the submitter is or if they're here or listening, but I hope they reconsider the very nasty and verging on anti-Semitic comments that they made in their submission, suggesting that basically the council is approving this because we've been paid by the Jewish community and we're corrupt for pandering to a minority. That is very disappointing, and I hope whoever wrote that reconsiders. But I do thank all the rest of the submitters for their well-put submissions. Councillor Silver, did you want to sum up?
Mr Mayor, and of course I admitted to say thank you to all the submitters for coming out. Again, I'm treating perhaps this again in a similar position to you, Councillor Holmes, that I still haven't made up my mind, in that I'm simply looking at things from a very high-level perspective. As Councillor Eskoff said, there's a lot of homework to do on this one. This is by no means a done deal. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks thinking about this one.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Silver. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That motion is carried unanimously, and I now declare the meeting closed at 7:37.